Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
After weeks of mediocrity and disappointment, finally something worth your time. No, we're not talking about this podcast, which has hopefully never been either mediocre or disappointing. We're talking about Tamasha, a movie that exceeds expectations in every way and partially restores our faith in Bollywood after being scarred by Prem Ratan, Shandar, Singh Is Bling, the list goes on. We discuss Ranbir Kapoor's incredible acting, why 2015 is Deepika's year, and lots more in this episode of Bollywood Weekly. Welcome everyone to another episode of Bollywood Weekly, and this week I have with me Mehak.
Hi guys.
Mehak making your long-awaited return on the podcast. You came for episode 2 and then we scared you so much that you never came back.
Actually, I did Singh Is Bling with you.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's fair to say that this is the first review we've done that is of a good movie.
Yes. So, as you can see, I'm very on top of everything that I do on this podcast. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but the podcast with Just You on Hamari Adhuri Kahani is still our number one most viewed podcast. So you have high expectations to live up to. Anyway, moving on. So this week's movie is Tamasha, which we just watched. And take the stage. What are your views?
I really liked it. I was discussing with you earlier, I think all of Imtiaz Ali's movies have this really like poetic thing about them, and they're all really beautiful, and they have these like really big ideas, complex ideas, but they're portrayed in really simple ways. But at the same time, his movies are not perfect. Either the story is a bit random or unbelievable, or they operate in a completely different world. And I'm sure he's conscious of that, but it's just a bit frustrating that the masses, or not the masses, but like the public at large doesn't recognize how well made his movies are, I feel. They think that Jab We Met is like the pinnacle of his, you know, career. But I actually think that movies like Rockstar and Tamasha are the ones that stand out. And so, I mean, clearly, as you can tell, I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same boat. I thought it was really well made. The first half was kind of, I was like, okay, this is not really that engaging, or this is not really that different. But then in the second half, the story takes a really
unexpected turn, and the way things happen is just very different and very fresh. It's not at all your typical Bollywood Ranbir Deepika love story. It's not like Ye Jawani. And yeah, to your point about Imtiaz Ali, what I like about his movies is that he actually, you know, takes on some pretty serious concepts and has some very deep messages in his movies.
Yeah.
But he still manages to do it in a way that still resonates with the masses, quote unquote, or with other people. Like Rockstar was different, I think. That one, it was, I think, based on the story and the characters, he had to do it the way he did. But even for this one, I mean, we won't do spoilers, but for example, he tackles the issue of parents putting pressure on kids and also about kind of mental health and insecurities. He never explicitly says that. It's just something that he shows, and it's just the characters bring it out, which I quite like, and which is a subtle way of doing things in a, which makes things also not seem very heavy or very, you know. Because even while he's talking about these serious issues, it's done in a fairly, the movie's quite fun. Like, there's a lot of joking, there's a lot of good things about it, so.
Yeah, I think I completely agree. Actually, I know I generally try not to read reviews of the movie that, you know, I'm going to be doing with you on a podcast, but I happened to watch Anupama Chopra's review, and she said that, you know, this topic of parents forcing kids to do engineering has been so, like, overdone in Bollywood. Like, it was done so well in Three Idiots. But I actually think that a movie like Three Idiots, which we've discussed earlier, I didn't really enjoy, is the
you
most
You didn't
cliche.
Enjoy Three Idiots?
It's okay. That's a discussion for another time.
Okay, fine.
But I just found it very cliched, and as with all Imtiaz Ali movies, I think it was done so subtly and in such an innocent way, such complex emotions. And what I really liked about the movie is that Deepika and Ranbir were just on point.
Yeah.
There was not one false note, besides what happens in Corsica stays in Corsica. I hate that line, but besides that.
I think, both of them, acting-wise, did an amazing job. I think of the current crop of next-generation actors, if you can call them that, I think Ranbir is far and away the best one in terms of just acting ability. And I think he proved that here. He's everything from the trailer, you know, that he has this personality that he makes up while he's on this trip in Corsica. And then he's his normal self, which is very simple, doesn't try to ask questions, just does everything. And he plays both those characters so well. And they both are completely believable and completely... You can see you can almost feel the emotions that the characters are going through when you watch him, which I think is the ultimate kind of aim of all actors. So, and even Deepika in this one, I think she still struggles, or as an audience, you still, whenever she speaks English, it's not quite perfect.
Yeah.
And some of the parts where she's playing off Ranveer and trying to be really breezy and stuff still doesn't completely come off. But on the more serious and emotional scenes, she actually did really well in this movie, which is different from what we've seen before, I think. And I think, I mean, she's also now been around for a good 6-7 years now, so more even. So she's definitely grown as an actress. And I was actually thinking about this when before I went, I heard that this movie... we heard that this movie is good, and this year she's come up in a year which has, as we discussed last week, not had many good movies. She's come up with potentially three, if Bajirao is good, potentially three really good movies where she has acted well. She had Piku, now there's this, and if Bajirao is good, which the signs would indicate that it will be, I think that's pretty, no other actress even comes close, except maybe Kangana had Tanu Vajmanu Returns and Kati Bati, which I liked, but not many other people liked.
So on Ranbir, I 100% agree. I can't even imagine one other actor in the past, like, you know, old actors, younger generation, anyone who can carry off this type of a role. I mean, I'm just blown away by this guy's range and authenticity. You know, usually in movies, you go for a Shah Rukh Khan movie, there's so much falseness in his acting. You go for Akshay Kumar movie, you don't even expect an ounce of acting. With this guy, you can't find one flaw. And I completely agree, like, Deepika still has some issues with her accent and her spontaneity is not genuine in her acting. But that one scene in, so this is not a spoiler, but there's this one scene where she's
in the coffee shop.
In the coffee shop, and it's basically in the Agar Tum Saath Ho video. And I remember seeing the YouTube video before the movie, and I kept re-watching it because I was so amazed by how real the emotion seemed.
Yeah.
And in the actual context of the movie, it was even more like moving. I was shocked how real that moment was.
Yeah. And the other reason I also respect Ranveer a lot is that he is the one actor more than anyone else who, I mean, excluding Aamir Khan probably, who actually picks and chooses his films and does really good films that he is really behind. They don't always, even if they don't always work out, like for example, Bombay Velvet, you know, a lot of other actors may not have taken that risk. Even for something like Roy, which it didn't work, and for many other reasons. But he doesn't necessarily feel the need to have to do one of these big commercial movies every year or anything like that. He does movies that are a bit more real, which I like.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that, I mean, people say that he had like three flops or whatever, but in my mind, and I think in the industry's mind and most of the general public's as well, he, you know, usually when a person has so many repeated failures, I guess, that word is a bit harsh, but their image or their, like, their standing or rating or whatever kind of goes down.
Yeah.
But it just hasn't impacted him one bit. And I think that speaks volumes about his talent.
Also, I mean, the three flops thing, which I...
Well, not him. They want his fate.
No, and honestly, Bombay Velvet
I love that movie.
Yeah, exactly. It flopped box office-wise, but I thought it was a great movie. Roy was not his movie. He's there for like 15 minutes or something. But people just consider it as his movie because it's promoted that way. Besharam, I have no excuses for. That is up there with the worst movies I've seen. I don't know what he was thinking with that one. But even in that one, his acting was actually good. It's just the movie and everything around him was terrible.
Yeah. And I think he just tries way less hard than anyone else in that whole current lot, you know? He's not on some PR overdrive all the time. He's not like... badgering the audience on social media and publicity and PR events, and he just doesn't piss me off in general. I guess I'm thinking of like Ranveer Singh and Arjun Kapoor when I say this, but I just really like him.
Yeah, he's also, I mean, it's funny now because he's quite new, but he's also slightly older than these other guys like Varun and Arjun and stuff.
Yeah.
So he's almost like a bit of a...
He's a Hrithik Roshan to a Shah Rukh.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I've been here, I've done this, I don't need to prove myself, kind of. Which, and, you know, in most other industries in the world, he would be the kind of leading, most senior actor. But in our wonderful world, we have 50-year-olds like the big three Khans and Akshay Kumar who still take on leading roles. But so you said that this movie, you didn't think that, or you felt that this movie was still imperfect. So what are some of the things that you thought were not perfect?
Well, okay, so firstly, I just think that the way, and I completely understand why they did this, but I think the way that they promoted and marketed the movie and the trailer was quite misrepresentative of what the movie was. And the thing is, by looking at the videos, I kind of gathered what the true movie would be like. Mm. Not to the extent that it was, but I just think that to get like footfalls into theaters, they might have position the movie in a certain like positive light way to explain better, like as a more Ye Jawani Hai Deewani than as a rock star, you know. But I don't think they, I mean, firstly, I don't think that they should have done that. Then secondly,
but on that part, actually, before you move on, I think that's completely true, and it in the end, I think it ends up hurting the movie because people then go in expecting something and you get something that's quite different, and then you're like, oh, even if it's really good, people will be like, oh, but I mean, I don't want to have to sit through this. Like, Katti Batti was the same.
Yeah.
If you look at Katti Batti, the trailer, it just looks like another typical Imran Khan movie.
Yeah.
Like Break Ke Baad or something like that. Like a light romantic comedy. But then you get into the movie, it's actually really intense and it's serious and it's quite dark. And which I liked it because I don't necessarily mind if, you know, if a film is unexpected or different from what I expect it to be. But a lot of people went there expecting a romantic comedy, got a really serious drama,
And it's like, fine, some people don't like serious dramas, and you're not, and the people who do, and the people who would enjoy that movie, won't go to see it because they think it's another useless romantic comedy.
Exactly. So, actually, my dad went for the movie, and he was just like, what the hell is going on in this movie? Because he doesn't go for these types of movies. And there's no, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that this is like Imtiaz Ali's voice, but I don't think that the studio, the producer, whoever decided this should like trick the audience, you know? Yeah. And I feel like this is your, I mean, this is just a larger issue that's happening. Even in Hollywood, Bollywood, everywhere, they're using trailers to get like audience into the door.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, you're shutting the doors on the audience that would have come either way. But I guess the size of the audience for a romantic comedy is far bigger.
Yeah, in the end, it boils down to that, pretty much.
Yep. So that's one. Then two, I think you spoke about it a little bit, but, you know, this happened with Ye Jawani Hai Deewani as well.
Yep.
Basically, I think, so Imtiaz Ali is a fantastic writer, but I'm not sure if he wrote the dialogues of this movie, but I feel like these movies change the dialogues, change the original aesthetic of the movie to something that is more palatable by this Punjabi North Indian audience that is largely like the movie going audience. You know what I mean? The language changes a bit. So like all these like annoying phrases, like what happens in Corsica stays in Corsica and stuff like that. Like, you know, stuff that can be plugged into your trailer, stuff that is Punjabi and fun and, you know what I mean?
No, with that one, I mean, I think I remember watching an interview when he made the movie with Saif and Deepika.
Love Aajkal.
So with I remember watching an interview for that, and he said he deliberately made the dialogues, he tried to match kind of the way younger people actually talk to connect with that audience. And in that movie, I think it worked really well. In this one, I agree, it's a bit off.
Because yeah, and I just think it doesn't stay true to the movie, and so it sounds false, it sounds forced, it sounds fake. And if he had just stayed true to the original voice of the movie, it would have been better. But the thing is, with Imtiaz Ali movies, I just love the deeper, you know, the deeper message that I hate to be so nitpicky and I hate to criticize.
Yeah.
So even these are like really like detailed, complex criticisms of the movie. Doesn't take away from the fact that I really enjoyed the movie. And then the third part is that I just felt like there were too many songs. Like every 10 minutes I was hit with a song. I don't know.
Yes and no, like, but I mean, with this movie, if I compare it to Prem Ratan, where there's literally a song every 10 minutes.
But that's Prem Ratan, man.
I know, but over here, my point is over here, the songs were still kind of weaved into the story. So I didn't feel like it was slowing down the story or taking away from it. And I quite like the technique of Dev D was the first movie I saw did it and did it really well, where you kind of have a song playing where you have, I don't know how to describe it, but you have a kind of a singer performing on a stage somewhere, parallelly showing the actor going through his emotions and going through, you know, what's happening, as opposed to just the actor singing something or it just playing in the background. So, yeah,
let's completely agree. I mean, the picturization, all of that was fine. I just felt like there were a lot of songs. I think I'm trying to find criticisms at this point.
What did you think of the music, though?
It's not up there with Rockstar, but it's one of the better, like, albums as a whole I've heard this year. The last Bollywood song that was stuck in my head is, like, Prem Ratan Dhanpai. So, I think this is an album, like all A.R. Rahman albums, is something that, you know, you can continue to listen to in the future and it'll grow on you. And
yeah, I mean, I think it's a fairly, I would say, somewhat unconventional album in terms of the songs and the styles and stuff.
I think,
I don't love it especially, but I think you're right, it does grow on you when you listen to the songs a few more times.
Also, the picturization of the songs is so good that you like listening to the songs because it reminds you of that moment.
Yeah, and that's what I said it already, but I think it's worth repeating given how most other movies don't do this. The songs still continue the story in some way. It's not just completely out of context placed there in the middle. It's always has some, the songs still move the story along, which is nice.
And even the background score was amazing in the movie. What did you think of the way the movie was presented? Basically, Imtiaz Ali uses flashbacks and a lot of like, you know, stop motion kind of film. What did you think of that?
I mean,
was it confusing to you?
No, I didn't find it confusing as such. I think with that, that's more of it's more of an artistic thing. I don't think it necessarily added or took away anything from the story and from the way it played out. But it was just a different way of showing this. And I mean, eventually it all ties up in the end as to why he did it that way, and why the film is called Tamasha, etc. But yeah, I mean, I quite liked it in the sense that it's different.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Given how most Hindi movies are just follow a same set pattern and formula, anything different is always is good in my opinion. Although you don't feel it while you're watching it, except right at the end maybe. But when you then go back and look at it, Imtiaz Ali also has a certain kind of formula in terms of how he tells the story. You know, the first half is about the hero-heroine meeting, then there's a conflict, and then there's a kind of eureka moment of resolution, and which I realize does not sound very different from what anyone else does, but the whole pattern and the journey that the characters go through, it felt very familiar to Love Aajkal and Jab We Met.
But I think that's what he's saying in the movie, right? Yeah. Like, every story is the same.
Yeah, we actually, we unfairly gave them a lot of hate for that slogan last week when we didn't expect this movie to be good. But in the context of the thing, it actually makes sense, and it's actually very clever.
Why every time the same story?
Yeah. I really liked it. So this part, I think we can say without spoilers, Ved, who is Ranbir Kapoor's character in the movie, he really loves stories. And when he's a kid, he goes to this, in Shimla, he goes to this storyteller in the hills, and he sits and listens to different stories about, you know, Romeo and Juliet and the Ramayana and stuff like that. And I really like the part where the storyteller says that, you know, he starts off saying a story about Ram and Lakshman and Sita and going to fight Ravan. And then he stops, and Ranveer Kapoor has to pay him more money for him to continue the story. And then he continues the story and makes it Helen of Troy. And Ranveer is like, or the young Ranveer is like, what are you doing? That's the different story. And then he gives this little speech about, you know, across cultures, across countries, it's always just the same story. The names change and the situations change, but if you look at the heart of the story, it's always the same. Which I thought was quite nice and quite insightful, which I didn't expect.
Yeah. But the reason I asked that is because we went with a bunch of people, including my mom. I think I'm really glad Imtiaz Ali shot it this way.
It could be confusing to some people.
Yeah, it could be confusing. But the thing is, this is what I meant by like staying true to his voice and the way he wants to do it. I'm really glad he did, even though it confuses some mainstream audience who, like, you know, doesn't watch a lot of non-mainstream cinema, I guess.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it.
Cool. And with that, we will wrap up part one. Overall, the message is, watch this movie. It's really good. And it may not be what you see in the trailer, but it's still definitely enjoyable. And I would say it's probably one of the best movies of this year.
For sure.
Cool. With that, we will take a short break and then be back for part two, where we discuss the upcoming trailers and other fun stuff. मटर गश्ती खुली सड़क में तगड़ी तड़क भड़क में ओले गिरे सुलगते से सड़क में छतरी न थी बगल में आया ही ना अकल में के भागे हम या भीगे हम मकड़ में तो सोचा फिर गीला हुआ है जो सुखाना हो चाहे जनाना या मर्दाना हो फिर दे गई झांसा ऐ भाई मुझे फांसा चिरगुट जिंदगी यू नो टंग 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 टंग
kahe mili tum se nazni mere hosh hawas kho gaye ho dil ka bhanwar bole sun saathiya chup na dupatte mein tu o chaliya prem pujari ke dil ka bayan
Okay, welcome back to part two. This is actually going to be fairly short because there are actually only two major releases left in the year. Bajirao Mastani and Dilwale. There was supposed to be Wazir in between, but that now got moved to January. First week of January. And since we've already discussed both Bajirao and Dilwale, we will keep this short, but since the last podcast, the new extended trailer of Bajirao came out. What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought the trailer looks exciting. It's got the same earthiness and tone that Bhansali generally has in all his movies.
Yeah.
Very beautiful sets, beautiful women, very traditional. I think Priyanka's acting is on point. Like, she just crushes the role of Kashi Bai.
Yeah.
I think the trailer was a bit dialogue light.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't gather much on how Deepika's I didn't get a feel of how good or bad Deepika was.
Yeah.
But Ranveer Singh, he's an interesting choice to play the role of a warrior. I can't imagine him as a warrior, as we were discussing earlier.
Yeah.
He's just not got that stature. I think someone like Hrithik Roshan much more suits the stature and just generally the authority of a warrior. But it's interesting. I'm definitely going to see it. And my bets are on Bajirao being the better movie out of Dilwale and Bajirao, if that was the next question.
I don't think anyone is really in doubt of that, having watched the trailer.
Who do you think is going to make more money?
Dilwale, for sure. It's no contest.
Yeah.
With Shah Rukh Khan alone, I think it would do hundreds and hundreds of crores. You add Shah Rukh Khan and Kajol to the mix, it's like, though everyone is going to go crazy, I'm pretty sure. Even if on social media, if you look at all the comments and all the videos, like, all these people are like so excited. And I'm like, are you watching the trailer? Like, what is happening here? Like, nothing good is going to come of this.
Sorry, what did you think about your trailer?
Bajirao trailer, I quite liked it in the sense that I generally am not a big fan of these type of films, like period movies, Jodha Akbar, stuff like that. But I can still appreciate that it's well made and it's, it does look quite exciting. And the acting, like you said, of Priyanka and even Deepika in parts, like the scene where she is carrying the child and cut someone with a sword, I thought it was really good. I'm definitely more excited for that than for Dilwale.
One thing on Bajirao though, Priyanka somehow is just, she's a chameleon. Like, she really just naturally fits into whatever character she's playing. Like in Barfi, I forgot that it was Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah.
And even here, like when she's in that outfit, she looks like she's born to be in that sari and the way she wore it and her hair and everything. Somehow Deepika in that warrior outfit just does not go. When Priyanka was Mary Kom, she looked like Mary Kom. Every role that she does, she looks like she's doing. Deepika, you still know that it's Deepika playing a warrior.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, Priyanka's...
I don't mean to pit them against each other. I'm just saying.
No, but Priyanka's range that she's shown is really amazing. She's done kind of very glamour heavy roles like fashion. She's done more Etraz is different, but she's also done more earthy roles like in Kamine also. She was someone of the street and you, Barfi, as you mentioned again, is another one. It's like you don't remember or realize that, you know, this is Priyanka Chopra who won Miss India, world. Miss Universe, Miss World, Miss Universe,
whatever.
Same thing. Yeah, and it she can very seamlessly pull it off, which is amazing.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a lot of these actors have like crazy PR, like you know, Deepika has some crazy PR. Like she's just positioned as number one, and for some reason.
But Priyanka is also very active on Twitter, at least.
For sure, but what I mean is, I don't think there are news articles and people constantly raving about her, and I think maybe that's because she's put less work out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Zanjeer, no one even watched that movie. But I just wanted to like special mention for Priyanka.
Although she did get a lot of attention for Quantico, but
fair.
Back to Dilwale, the trailer we've already discussed, and I think the less said the better. But in the last couple of weeks, they did release the first two songs in the videos. The first one is Gerua with Shah Rukh and Kajol.
So just one point on the trailer, I was actually. I know you discussed this last week, but I was actually reading an interview that Shah Rukh gave. And he said that... So, I'm guessing the main comments on the trailer was, what is this movie about? Because this trailer has said nothing and there is no messaging.
Yeah.
But apparently he says that we didn't want to give away the story in the trailer. We just wanted the trailer to be a couple of theatrics and for people to like see Shah Rukh, Kajol and Varun Kriti again.
Yeah.
He apparently they're conscious of the fact that the trailer meant nothing, and I didn't understand the logic for that. But I mean, the thing is, when I see these trailers, I'm like, do these guys know what they're doing? So they are, you know.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's a whole thought process that goes into it. But my point is not really that you don't know what's happening. I find that less of an issue. It just does not look good.
Rohit, that's besides the point. Yeah, Rohit Shetty, never going to be good. I didn't even like Chennai Express very much. Like, yeah, it's funny in parts, but it's so bloody racist.
Happy New Year was also not Rohit Shetty, but Shah Rukh's.
Terrible movie. Yeah. It's actually one of the worst movies I've seen, along with Shandar.
you missed out on a few this year.
Sing is Bling, bro. And Hamari Adhuri Kahani. I've seen all these bad movies with you.
Sadly. At least now that trend has changed. I get the same message from everyone. And I'm like, it's not my fault. The movies that come out are bad. Yeah. I'm obligated to go watch all of them. Or I want to watch all of them.
Just one point, actually, going back on Tamasha. Sorry, I know we're talking about trailers at this point.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't like is Indian movies are just so openly racist. It's unbelievable. Them mocking Japanese accents is just so wrong.
And there was another part which I found really confusing is Ranbir and Deepika play this game where they pretend to be other people. Even apart from these two characters they create for themselves, they will randomly go to a restaurant and pretend to be other people and talk to people. So they go to this one restaurant where they pretend to be an Indian film director and Deepika is an Indian actress, Bollywood star. But then they talk in Italian accents.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, if you're pretending to be Indian, you can just be talking a normal accent. Yeah. You don't need to have this Italian accent. And they do that for a good couple of minutes and it just does not make sense.
There's no continuity with accents. Ranbir is speaking in a completely cosmopolitan accent in Corsica. Then when he moves back to Delhi, even though he has those like, even though he's a different person there and he's a different person here.
Yeah.
The accents are like too different. In when he's back in India, he has like a very earthy Indian English accent. And when he's there, he has some like crazy like cosmopolitan NRI type accent. So I don't know what's going on. Anyway, back to the trailers on the two songs for Dilwale. Gerua, firstly, I was like, what the F does that mean?
So that's what most people's reaction was. It means it has a much deeper meaning, though. I was reading about this because I was also confused.
Oh my god, bitch. You should not say this. Honestly, I'm embarrassed.
I typed what does Gerua mean into Google, and the first thing was an article where Shah Rukh explains it. Or, sorry, it was an article about one tweet that Shah Rukh wrote, and then the article explained it as Indian media is. But basically, yeah, like you said, it means kind of saffron orange. But it's also, it's basically the exact shade of orange that the priests and stuff were, like in the Gurudwara or whatever. So it's, and it's, you apparently you only wear that shade of orange when you've, I don't know what the equivalent word is, but basically when you've attained nirvana or like found the one.
Oh,
so it's like
it?
Color me with the color of, because I found the one in Kajal.
So a couple of points on this song. One, Pritam made the music for this movie. I don't know what the hell he was thinking or what Shah Rukh and Rohit Shetty were thinking as producers when they chose the songs that Pritam gave. Because honestly, these are bad songs. They will play it enough on the radio and on TV and everywhere so that we start liking the songs as they do with all Shah Rukh Khan movies. They literally badger us with marketing and promotions till we are forced to like it and go for the movie. So there's that. I think it's objectively just a bad song. And two, the picturization, man, the green screen is so obvious and it's so bad that even, so I know for a fact that they went to Iceland to shoot this video or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But despite that, like, because the green screen in some areas is so bad, they even make the real things look fake.
Yeah, the, on the song part, we will agree to disagree because I quite like the song. Maybe I've just been badgered enough.
Exactly.
That I, like
I think you have.
But I think, I mean, I generally like Arijit Singh's songs, so I think it's not the best song ever.
No, so I think it's sung well. No complaints.
Yeah, but
that.
I like
I just don't think it's epic enough for Kajol and Shah Rukh's song. Like, Suraj
I mean,
Madham
okay, yeah,
was
but,
amazing.
But that is like, you have this unrealistic ideal of Shah Rukh and Kajol as being the ultimate couple in
but
the world.
But dude, they are positioning it like that. So then
yeah,
my expectation
true.
Is going to be that high.
True. On the picturization, I completely agree. I mean, the whole thing just looks fake. I mean, Kajol still looks amazing.
Amazing.
But Shah Rukh, like, you can see, like, the five layers of makeup and everything
editing
else that's been added. Like, it almost
his
looks...
His lips are purple.
Yeah, it basically looks... It looks like a CGI version of Shah Rukh, basically.
Yeah. You know what's really scary? If Shah Rukh becomes, like, a Rajinikanth.
I think all of them are heading that way. I don't know about Amir because he anyway now only does one or two movies every couple of years. but Salman for sure, and I think even Shah Rukh, they're definitely heading into Rajinikanth mode.
See, Salman, I can see heading into Rajinikanth mode just because that is his mold of a movie.
Yeah.
But Shah Rukh, and also the thing is, I think Salman is like, why do we always land up talking about the Shah Rukh Khan? But either way, I think Salman is humble enough to accept that he is a bad actor and he's just doing this because he's lucky enough that people like him. The scary thing with Shah Rukh is that I actually think he thinks that people love these movies. And he's a bit of a megalomania. And it's scary because this makeup and editing is just so... I mean, the whole thing is just so dated now, you know?
Yeah. But he's also... I mean, Shah Rukh is also very... He's very self-aware and he's like... So, I was listening to... Bollywood Project, which is another podcast, so heads up to them for bringing this to my attention. But there's apparently like a Twitter exchange between him and Farah Khan, where Farah Khan tweeted something. There was a quote, someone wrote a quote after DDLJ came out saying, or I think Shah Rukh himself said it, saying, you know, I want to be like the leading actor of my, not just of my generation, but like not just in 1998, but also in 2000,
right.
2010, 2020.
Anupama Chopra tweeted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was her, not Farah Khan.
Yeah.
But, and then he replied to that saying, oh, like, maybe we should extend it to 2050. And, oh yeah, it was Anupama Chopra. Because
yeah.
Then Anupama Chopra said, yes, I'm sure in 2050, I'll still be very old and trying to chase you for interviews, which you'll never give me, as a joke. And then Shah Rukh replied saying, and by then I'll still be trying to romance the next hot new actress, which I thought was epically funny. So he's very aware of this reputation
sure,
and
like,
thing that people
really
have of him.
Guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I have heard him on several interviews saying, like, listen, I want to do a race and I want to do all these fan type movies, but I have a whole production house where I employ 200 people and I run KKR and I run like 10 different things. So I need to generate money and that's why I do these movies. But then why did you do that?
Which, like, but I mean, fundamentally, I don't buy that logic because now, given where he is, he can put out anything and it'll make 100 crores.
Yeah.
I think
sure Rais will do it.
Yeah, it's even, I mean, and that's the thing, right? With Amir, which we've said this before, so I won't harp on it again. But I think all the three Khans have enough kind of box office power that they can put out anything and it'll do well. It's just a question of how much time and effort you want to spend to make something good.
And you know, the sad thing is, at least in my opinion, I genuinely think Shah Rukh is a better actor than Aamir. Aamir just makes better choices and is a bit more restrained. Shah Rukh is a far deeper actor. Aamir just looks... I mean, he doesn't even... You know, when he was in Dhoom and all these movies, he can't even pull half the shit off, given his physique and the way he looks. I think Shah Rukh has the capacity to pull off so much.
Yeah, I completely agree. Sad. And I mean, and in the, you know, up in the 90s and 2000s, at least the first half, he's proved that many times. He does comedy really well. He obviously does romance really well. He also does, you know, drama and serious movies really well. And earlier in his career, he would also do many different types of roles and be experimental. But then, after a point, he just decided to, you know, this is my zone. I'm just going to do these movies. Yeah. Anyway.
Going back to the second Dilwale song.
Yes.
Manma Emotion.
Yes. We are again going to disagree, but yes.
Yeah, I think it's a horrible song. The lyrics are weird. The song is weird. Varun Dhawan and... I guess the picturization is okay, but it's like... So cheesy.
Yeah, here I have the opposite view. The picturization to me is just random. It's like, you know, it's a typical Rohit Shetty.
Exactly.
10 cars come out, Varun Dhawan is doing random stuff. The thing is, so they tried to make this like a hip-hop type song. And I generally like hip-hop. So I think the beat is quite good, although it is Pritam. So it sounds like basically a mashup of any top 40 hip-hop song or five different top 40 hip-hop songs right now.
Mixed in Haryana and like shout out.
So I think the beat is quite good. The lyrics, I just find them funny. The one line about Milka is amazing. Do you know that line?
Yeah.
It's so
I'm sure I'm gonna listen to this and then it would play if I was in Bombay, it would play at a club and I would dance to it and I would love it. But objectively it's a horrible song.
The female part of the song is really weird.
It's so weird.
It's just some random.
And the fact that she's lip syncing, it's like, dude, this voice does not even suit you.
Yeah. And the other thing is also, Kriti Sanon is not impressive in this song.
Also, I've realized no female actress standing near Varun Dhawan can match up with his dancing. They all look pathetic.
His dancing and also his expressions. His expressions are really good and really funny.
So charming, so charismatic, and he's so quick, man.
Yeah.
No one can move as fast as him. All these girls are like struggling, you know. Even in ABCD2.
Yeah. Although for that one, Shraddha I think did okay. But yeah, agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, although I personally like these songs, it does not fill me with any more enthusiasm for the movie as a whole. Especially given both the songs, the picturization is just.
You know, had they come out with some amazing songs, I swear they could have gotten even like old-time fans who are now super cynical to enter the theaters. But with these two songs, I think they've just proved like it's just foreshadowing.
Yeah. But I think people will go for Shah Rukh, but also for Kajol, since it's such a novelty to see her. And she still looks really good.
She looks stunning. Her eyes are stunning, yeah, for sure.
The other trailer that came out is Wazir. So there was a teaser that had come out a few months ago, which had Farhan and Amitabh. The new trailer reveals that the movie also has Neil Nathan Mukesh as the villain and John Abraham as John Abraham, basically.
Yeah. What did you think?
As we were just discussing it, I'm not sure what the movie exactly will be about, but I think it looks pretty good. I generally trust Farhan Akhtar's judgment, and any movie that he does, I'm sure, is good. It is a bit more so. When I first saw the original trailer, I thought it would be a more kind of suspense thriller type movie, which it still is. But this trailer had a lot more action and like fight scenes and explosions than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So curious to see. And surprisingly, I don't know, but we gave him a lot of hate last week. But in this movie, Neil Nathan Mukesh looks fairly convincing and threatening as a villain, unlike in Prem Rathan.
I mean, it's a bit sad, but I guess Neil Nathan has kind of resigned himself to the fate that he will now be playing second lead, third lead in movies or whatever.
Yeah, which I don't think.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't think he is a bad actor necessarily. Like Johnny Gadar, I thought was really good.
Amazing.
And I really liked him in it as well. But since then, it just hasn't really worked out for him. But I mean, still not the worst position to be in.
Yeah, and I mean, he could just, you know, build himself as a really good, like, character actor or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks super interesting. I can't make out what the story is about, but I think that's the point of the trailer. Don't want to give away the whole plot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting I just feel like the movie is getting a bit lost in the whole Dilwale, Bajirao, Tamasha promotions. Yeah.
So they actually delayed the movie, I think partly for that reason, because it was supposed to release next weekend. But everyone is just Bajirao, Dilwale, all over the place fighting for space, so they just moved it to January, so they're gonna wait.
That makes sense. Do generally movies release in the first week of January though?
I think this is supposed to release on January 8th. Yeah. So pretty much second week. I think because there won't be any other big movie coming out in Jan.
Yeah,
no, there won't be. It's good for them.
Yeah, and I think Dilwale and Bajirao will be able to ride their wave till then.
Yeah.
Hopefully people will start watching it. And I hope these guys get some space to show the movie because it looks amazing. It's got a huge amount, like so many actors are in this movie.
Yeah.
And
as you mentioned, it's by Vidhu Vinod Chopra and Abhijit Joshi, which is the Three Idiots team.
Exactly.
Very different type of movie from what they normally do. So that's also very interesting.
But hopefully it'll be like a watertight story. And the director the director's previous movie, Shaitan.
Yeah.
For those who haven't watched it, it's an amazing movie. Again, a thriller. Very tight script. So I'm really looking forward to this. And I mean, even Amitabh Bachchan is on a roll, man. Piku and now Wazir. Good for him. Shamitabh was his last debacle. Looking forward to a month of some good and some bad movies.
This is pretty much it now for the month. It's just going to be those two.
Those two.
So one good and one bad.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Mahek.
Thanks,
for being
Fish.
Here again. And I will remember this time, unlike the last time.
Yeah.
That's our show, everyone. Thank you for listening and we hope you enjoyed it. As we mentioned, there are no major releases scheduled for the next couple of weeks, but we are trying to put together a couple of special episodes in that time, so watch the space for more information. To make sure you are up to date with those details, as well as regular updates on new episodes and cool Bollywood news, please do follow us on facebook.com/TIC Media Productions or on Twitter @productions_TIC. You can also subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud, TIC Productions, or using the iTunes podcast app if you just search Bollywood Weekly. You can also listen to it on Android devices using the SoundCloud app or any other podcasting service. Thanks and see you all next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.